to me something about my job and the different things I need and all the things you must have to think about and do. And I said, you know what? Give me one of these. That's all I need. So please grab one of these in front of you. It's we're looking at Matthew chapter 22 and beginning at verse 1. It's page 990 in the Bibles that are in front of you. If you've got your own Bible, I have no idea what page number it is. When I was a little boy and I was in Sunday school, you can almost imagine the scene, can't you? Small, cute, innocent, blonde hair. Actually, I did have blonde hair. It's going blonde again now, but for very different reasons. I used to love singing in Sunday school. And I'd get up, we'd sing heaps and heaps of things in Sunday school, lots and lots of kids' songs. We do the same, actually, in family church here on a Sunday morning. We sing lots and lots of kids' songs. Bit of a difference. Nowadays, we have computers, projectors, and big screens, and the words of Colin Buchanan. Well, Colin Buchanan was probably my age when I was in Sunday school, and we didn't have projectors and big screens. We had, and for those of you who are old enough, and the young ones will go, what? We used to have calico sheets. So big bits of calico, I can see the older people nodding, with black text, and the words of the song would be written out, and then they'd be held up with great big bulldog clips on the top of this easel. And we would turn it over. We would turn it over to whichever song we wanted. And being at the Sunday school I was in, we would often be allowed to choose our songs. And so I'd say, and I'd pick the song that was one of my favourite songs. And I don't know, but it always seemed to be at the back. And so these little old ladies would always then have to be hauling all this calico. You know, it could get actually quite thick. Or I always wondered why they just didn't move that song to the front. It would have been much easier. One of my favourite songs, or the favourite song, that I loved to sing when I was in Sunday school was the song, I Cannot Come. I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I've married a wife, I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments which cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused, I cannot come. Great song, great song. I can remember it 35 plus years later. Being the kids that we would always think it was absolutely hilarious to change the words. So we would sing, I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now, I've bought me a wife, I've married a cow. And we would think that we were so funny and we were the only ones who ever thought of saying those words and changing them around, but that's what we used to do. And I used to love that song. And the reason why I tell you that story is because when I've been preparing this passage all week, that song's been going around and around and around in my head. Do yourself a favour. Look on YouTube. You can look it up. Skip over the first reference that comes up on Google because it's really sad. Go to about the second or third one. You'll hear the song. And it's a song that's based on both this parable, the parable of the wedding banquet, and the similar story in Luke's Gospel. In Luke's Gospel, when Jesus tells the story, we get the words, I cannot come. We don't get the words, I cannot come in this story, but we get the wedding part in this story. So it's almost like the writer of the songs put the two parables together, and that's what they've come up with. And you see that in this story, Jesus says, there's a great wedding. Have a look at with me at the size that this wedding would have been. Jesus, verse 1, Jesus spoke to them again in parables saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. That's going to be an impressive wedding, isn't it? I don't know about you. I'm pretty sure my invitation got lost in the mail, but Will and Kate, I just never got there. But I can imagine that their wedding was fairly impressive. Weddings in Jesus' day, especially a wedding like this, wouldn't just go for an afternoon. It'd go for days. Days upon days upon days. And not only that, it would have been really rich fare. Have a look what he says. A bit further down, in halfway through verse 4, he says, my oxen and fattened cattle, not half a sheep, cattle, have been slaughtered and everything is ready. There's no finger food here. This is a massive barbecue. This is a huge feast. This is a big celebration, and the people invited to this are the VIPs. These are the people who are special to the king and his son, and they're invited to the wedding. And he sends out, as you can see in verse 3, there's different stages to the invitations. Verse 3, he sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet. So basically, it's understood that there would have been several stages. They would have been told sometime in advance that there's going to be a wedding feast. And when the wedding feast is ready, don't have mobile phones, can't text around, no Facebook, you send the servants out. It's ready, time to come. But what happens? Well, they come up with excuses. I can't come. I cannot come to the banquet. More on that later. But why does Jesus actually even tell this story? Well, what's the purpose of this parable? Well, a couple of weeks, well, actually last week, we started to see that as we move towards Easter, as we look at these passages in the Gospel of Matthew, we see that Jesus begins to be challenged. Have a look with me, chapter 21. You're going to have to turn over one page back. Chapter 21 and verse 23. We looked at this last week. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" So what they're doing is they're challenging Jesus. "We want to know, how are you saying the things that you're saying? Why are you saying the things that you're saying? Who told you you could say the things that you are saying?" So they challenge him. Jesus then begins to challenge them and their authority. But he doesn't do it by saying, "Well, where does your authority come from?" No, rather, in his unbelievably wonderful storytelling way, he tells three stories. The first story we looked at last week, the parable of the two sons, in which he challenges their authority. The next story is the parable of the tenants. Now, we didn't look at this parable. We skipped over it. The reason being is because we actually looked at it when we looked at the Gospel of Mark. So you're going to have to go back to that sermon series to look at what we said on that one. And tonight we look at the parable of the wedding banquet. And what you see is Jesus is challenging the authority of the leaders. In fact, not only is he challenging the authority of the leaders, the chief priests and the elders, he's going one step further. He says, not only do you have no authority anymore, you actually don't have a position anymore in the kingdom of God. And we know that by who's who in the zoo. Have a look in the story. The king and the son. It's not hard to work out who the king and the son are in the story, is it? God the Father, God the Son, the king. Then the first invites. Who are the first invites? Who are the people who are invited first? It's the people of Israel. Because what are the people of Israel called? The chosen people. The chosen people. And God prepares a banquet for his people. He provides a rest for his people. He provides an incredible kingdom for his people. And he invites them to continue to be with him. We see it all the way through the Old Testament. But they come up with somewhat trivial excuses. "Oh, I've got a field. I've got to go and check the field. Business is busy at the moment." Or in the Luke passage, you know, there's the, "I've married a wife." What a pitiful excuse. Not because of the wife part. "Bring her with her, with you." Hey. And then there's the other one, you know, "I've just bought some oxen and I've got to try them out." That's like a farmer saying, "Hey mate, I've just bought a brand new tractor. I can't come. I've got to try it out." Try it out the next day. It's still going to be there. And the other story is, you know, "I've just bought me a field. I need to go and check it out." Didn't you check it out before you bought the field? Pitiful excuses. I can't come. We're a bit like that in our society, aren't we? You ever get an invitation sometimes, and then you just wait to see if you get a better invitation on the same day? It's called the Starbo incident. Starbo, subject to a better offer. I'm coming, unless I get a better offer. But then you see, actually, there's more than just the excuses. Verse 7, the rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. Did you notice, though, that the king continued to try and invite them? So he sends out the initial word, there's going to be a feast. He sends out the servants to say, "Hey, the feast is ready, time to come." They don't come. So what does he do? He sends out another lot of servants to say, "Hey, the cattle are slaughtered. The meat's ready. You've got to come now. No, we've got the excuses, and some of them are ill-treated and killed. And generation after generation, God sent prophet upon prophet, and prophet upon prophet, and prophet after prophet to his people and said, come. And they rejected them. Some they ill-treated, and some they killed. Can you see how Jesus is challenging their authority? So there's new invitations. Verse 8. And he said to his servants, the wedding banquet's ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite them to the banquet. Anyone you can find. I love that little bit. Anyone that you can find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people that they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. In the old versions of the Bible, it says they went out to the highways and the byways. Basically, they went as far as they needed to go, and to whoever they saw, they invited them to the wedding feast. It's not hard to work out who the second lot of invitees are. What did we see last week? Have a look with me. Verse 31 of chapter 21. In the story of the two sons. Verse 31, it says, which of the two did what the father wanted, Jesus asked. The first they answered. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. So not only do you not have any authority anymore, but you're losing your position because the prostitutes and the tax collectors, the sinners, in fact, everybody else, the blind and the lame and the weak, are entering the kingdom before you. They're the second lot of invitees. And in fact, Jesus actually is picking up all of what the Old Testament is about. And when he says, you know, in the old term, go to the highways and the byways, go to even to the Gentiles and invite them to the wedding feast. Because everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. But do you look at this passage and go, you know what, I love this story, but there's just one or two bits here I don't really like? Is there one or two bits of the story you go, don't like that? How about verse 7? The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Well, that one we can sort of excuse a little bit because they did kill his servants. But what about the last bit? Verse 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. And the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a little bit harder, that part, isn't it? That's the little bit that we sort of wish we could just skip over and go to the next chapter. But wait a second, let's have a look at it. Because our initial response is to say, the poor bloke, it's not fair, it's not fair. But have a close look. He gets invited to the wedding feast and he comes. Tick, all good. But he doesn't wear the proper clothes. To which you reply, but wait a second, there's a pretty good chance he's one of the poor. He's not going to have the proper clothes. He's one of the ones they found in the highways and the byways. To which I reply, it was actually quite common practice for the king to provide the proper attire. In fact, you see it in different passages of the Bible where it talks about it, and even in the book of Revelation. We're going to get to it in a second. So he's given the proper attire, but he refuses to wear it. It shows the seriousness of the invitation. This is an invite to not be flippant about. Let me put it this way. We cannot presume upon the grace of God, comma, and then do whatever we like. Full stop. We cannot say, I'm a follower of Jesus, and then choose to be completely disobedient and lead our own lives and be king of our own lives or queen of our own lives or whatever you want to say of your own lives. That sort of comparison is an anathema. The grace of God is not cheap. It's free, but it's not cheap. It cost the blood of Jesus. So who are we? Who am I? That the Son of God would die for me, and then I would treat that grace with, thank you so much for that, but I'll just lead my own life my way. It's like someone who comes to the, hey, I'm one, join the wedding feast, but I can't be bothered dressing in the clothes that you've given me. In fact, how does the Apostle Paul put the Christian life? When we come to Jesus, we take off the old and we put on the new. In fact, in the passage that Beryl read for us from the book of Revelation, it says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Get this bit. Fine linen and bright and clean was given to her to wear. It was given to her. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. So friends, if we respond to the invitation of Jesus, then everything changes. And he is king. But let me go back to the welcome idea. See, at the start, we see that Jesus is challenging the religious leaders and saying, by showing that they have no authority anymore. But what he's also doing, and this is so appropriate on a night in which we dedicated Max and some of the beautiful prayers I heard. What Jesus is also doing is showing that the welcome to the kingdom, the welcome to the wedding feast of the Lamb, is open to everybody. In the highways and the byways, the wedding feast is open. In fact, the beautiful thing about the grace of Jesus is that if you are an outsider in the kingdom, through Jesus you become an insider in the kingdom. You're welcome to be part of that. Blessed, that's why again the angel writes in the book of Revelation, the angel said to me, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. All are welcome. Because God is a God of welcome. I go on about these four W's all the time. There's a good reason for it, because they're biblical and we need to get it right in our heads. We talk about four W's in this place. We talk about worship. We talk about word. We talk about witness. And we talk about welcome. Welcome. Because God is a God of welcome. God welcomes us. And that welcome begins now. So here's a very good question for me to ask. It's blunt, but I make no apology for asking it. Are you part of that kingdom? Are you part of that kingdom? Have you received the welcome? Were you once an outsider, but now an insider? Is Jesus your Saviour? Whichever way you want to put the question. Are we tempted to make excuses though? It's a bit too busy at the moment. Having a bit too much fun. I'll think about it later. I still don't get the idea of following Jesus is not fun, but anyway. And you might think, well, that's just they're just young person's excuses, but here's the old person excuse when you ask, are you an insider? You go, of course I am. I've been sitting on these pews for years. I don't care how long you've been sitting on the pews. I really don't. I want to know, are you on the inside? Because, friends, there is an urgency about this question. Are you an insider? Have you responded to the welcome? If you're not sure, then you need to have a conversation with me or Rob or someone else that you feel comfortable. In fact, and I said it last time I was preaching too, come along to the Alpha course. It's tomorrow night. Starts tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. We give you a free meal. You get to watch the first video, chat about it, and you get a chance to say, you know what? I want to learn more about this Jesus bloke. I want to know how to become an insider and not an outsider. And even if you sort of think, yeah, but I'm sort of sure, but I'm not quite sure. Perfect. I'm going along with somebody. Come along with me. But friends, the welcome also starts here.
not only does God welcome us, but we are to be people of welcome also. Do you know why I get you to say hello to the people around you? I have very ulterior motives. Let me tell you what my ulterior motive is. You now know the people around you, so when we sing our final song, you have people to talk to. Because you never know. And I can't say this with any more seriousness. You never know what is going on in the life of the person in front of you, behind you, or next to you, and what God is doing in their life, and whether you are the person to speak to them at that moment in eternity. You don't know. So just speak to them and see what God does. We are to be a place of welcome, but we're also be a place where we take people, but don't just welcome here, but we go out and extend that welcome to our highways and byways, wherever God has planted us. Here's another blunt question. Are you praying for two or three people at least that you know who don't know Jesus? Are you? Are we people of welcome? Because we have been welcomed. So are we welcoming others? Are we asking God to give that opportunity? I started at the start by talking about my Sunday school story. Why did I say that? Was it just a nice intro into this parable? No. Very good reason. 35 plus years ago, those words, "I cannot come," were seared into my memory. And so even 30-something years later, without seeing the lyrics, without hearing the song, I instantly recall them. "I cannot come to the banquet, no trouble me." Now that's not just to say, "Oh, well, there you go, you've got a good memory, Greg." No, it's to say this. From a young age, from a very young age, I heard the welcome to the King. Now, I was a bit slow. It took me a few years to get it right. Took me a few years to actually respond. But my hope and my prayer is, can you hear the same call to the kingdom? Do you hear the same call of Jesus? Follow me. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, do you hear that call? And if you do, how will you respond? Please, may it never be with, "Oh, look, I'm busy, got a field to go to, just got married." Again, outsiders become insiders. But also, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have responded to that call, again, I ask you, do you extend that same welcome? Because 30-something plus years ago, I learned from an early age that God is a God of welcome. And I also learned from an early age that the wrong answer is, "I cannot come." Let me finish with the words of the actual song. The last verse goes like this. "Now God has written a lesson for the rest of mankind. If we're slow in responding, he may leave us behind. He's preparing a banquet for that great and glorious day when the Lord and Master calls us, be certain not to say, 'I cannot come.'" Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, who say not, "I cannot come," but rather, "I come." Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray for wherever we are, right here, right now, your Spirit has been working in our hearts and minds. And Lord, for those who are not sure, or who are sure that they are far from you, Lord, I pray that you'd continue to draw them closer, and that you would put people across their path right here tonight, who will ask them, "How are you?" Give us courage and boldness to do that, Lord. And Father, I pray for the rest of us who are reminded that there is a welcome that has been extended to us, and there's a welcome that we need to extend to others. Lord, challenge us, push us, badger us to continue to pray for others and to extend that welcome so that they too might say, "I come." We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.